Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good morning and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host. It is Tuesday morning, so we are talking about getting healed. And our topic for some weeks has been forgiveness, forgiving God, forgiving others, and now, forgiving ourselves. And we've kind of saved the sometimes most challenging for last. We are familiar with the concepts of forgiving others, but we do find it challenging to forgive ourselves on so many different levels. What it comes down to is we have an image or a picture of ourselves and how we should behave, how we think of ourselves behaving, and we put those expectations on others and on God that if we don't behave a certain way, we are disappointing others. We are disappointing God. We are not worthy of their love, acceptance, and friendship, relationship. And so there's a lot riding on forgiving ourselves and freeing ourselves from being accountable to ourselves. It all comes down to is who are we going to believe about who and what we are? We understand that God sees us differently than we see ourselves. And if that's the case, if God sees you one way and you see yourself another, who's going to have to change their opinion? Who is going to have to change their mind? Who's right? Is God right about you, or do you know better? If God says that you are fully accepted in him, that you are his son, that you are a joint heir with Christ, if you are a co-inheritor, if you have already entered the kingdom, if he calls you his beloved, if he's given you eternal life, if he's changed you into a spirit being, if he's already fully committed to you, and yet you see yourself as having to achieve and meet standards or build his kingdom or do anything to be worthy of what he's already given, who's going to have to change their mind? Are you going to try to convince God, no, 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 you can't love me. I'm unlovable. Who are you to say that? If he says, I love you, I accept you right now, unconditionally, period, end of story. And we are saying, okay, but to keep that love, no, no, no. That's not what he says. And if we say one thing and he says another, who's going to have to change their mind? Who's going to have to learn differently? God is the one who's in the right. He knows you better than you know yourself. And he made your soul. He made your body. He's given you his spirit. So one of the things that comes up during the process of forgiving ourselves is we begin to really see what we believe. Those areas where what we say we believe about ourselves, what we think about ourselves. You know, that there are, for instance, that there are mistakes that we made that are so big that they've destroyed God's plans for our life. What does that say about God? Not what does that say about you, what does that say about God? That he's, first of all, he never saw it coming. And that he is so limited that he is incapable of accomplishing or accommodating his own creation. You're so powerful, you can control God. Or is it more likely that we're believing a lie? We're believing our own internal press corps that's telling us we're failures. And because we're behind, that's a big one, we're late. We need to catch up. Rather than, you're exactly where God wants you to be right now. Because, we know that because he has arranged every single circumstance in your life to bring you to this point right now. And he's arranged every single circumstance in your life to bring you to this point. And this point, and this point, he controls time. He controls your time. He controls all time. He's not just an observer that wound up your life and said, okay, let's see what she does. Let's see what he does. Part of our problem is we reserve thinking about him, even, or relating to him for emergencies. Instead of understanding that our life here, this is what we're doing here. This is our training ground. It's not reality. It's not eternal life. It's where we're learning things that we'll need for whatever God has next. We don't know what he has for us. We don't know what came before this. But we know if we're an eternal being, we are over all of it. We don't even know if what comes next is time-related. We don't know. So let's not try to draw conclusions that warp our views of God and ourselves. There are a lot of blanks. There are a lot of things we don't know. Now it's great. Let's ask God, what about this? What about that? And he wants to talk to us about them. But if we come and say, no, I already know what heaven's going to be like. I already know about how this age is going to end. I already know about how angry you are at us because we've messed up. Or as an individual, I'm sorry if I messed up. I don't know if you're going to be able to, what drastic measures you're going to have to take to redeem the life that you had so much hope for. When it comes down to it, isn't that rather arrogant? Doesn't that really come across that we think we are so powerful that our mistakes or our prayers can influence the God of the universe? That he is incapable of moving or waiting to move until we say the right things, have the right number of people say and do the right things. Cal, if that's the case, I'm not sure he qualifies to be God. You know, and we say, well, he's placed restrictions on himself. Where do we get that idea? Do we think, okay, he's infinitely creative, and everything that exists was created by him, but now he can be stymied by his own creation? There's only two solutions. Either he's waiting for us to do something, or he's mean. When bad things happen to us, we figure there's only two possibilities. What if there's a third, and a fourth, and a fifth, and a sixth, and a 10,000th? To think that we know the options that are available to God. This is where we are looking to bring our mind into submission to our spirit. Because God does want to talk to us about these things. And he is. Remember, in your spirit, you already know the answers to all these questions. But we want to get them into our mind. So when we talk about forgiveness, when we talk about forgiving ourselves, our first concept of how we see ourselves, that we are either a success in God's eyes or a failure in God's eyes. And the only way to maintain God's approval of us is to make sure that every mistake we make or every sin we've committed has been accounted for. And every day we have to go through the process of accounting for every mistake and every sin. Because if we don't, he's going to hold it against us. I know it wears us out. I wonder sometimes if it wears God out. But even that, fortunately we know, even that, that's under his control too. You know, and he's not just up there being patient with us. In fact, he's not up there at all. He's right there. Pull a chair out. Talk to him. He's right there. He not only knows what you've been going through, but he created the circumstances. Yes, we have a hard time with that. And we have a hard time with that because we don't understand his nature and our new nature. God wants you to go through the process of learning. It develops a dependence on him and an appreciation. There are things that in this time frame that we have here on this earth, we can only learn. He has set aside this time to learn. And the more we embrace his training, that he is our teacher, whatever it is, we will learn it. Now I think whatever we go into next, we will need what we're learning now. But if we don't learn it now, we'll learn it then. I just think there's going to be a lot more things we'll need to learn. And if we can learn them all now, and I think we can. I don't think there's anything keeping us from being fully engulfed in who God is. Nothing that can't be overcome. Because right now I think so much of it is our own beliefs, our own desire to hold on to those beliefs. Because that gives us a sense of control. And we'll be going into control and flesh in detail later. But for right now, it's so much about our challenges in forgiving ourselves and releasing ourselves from our own accountability. That gives up so much of our control of our own lives. We want to be in control of how God sees us. It's the old, well, I know God's going to reject me. Everybody else has. You know, everybody in my family, my friends, my boss, everybody in the world, everybody hates me. Everybody's rejected me. And that may very well be true. But to think that that's God is merely a way of trying to control him. There is nothing you can do to keep him from loving you. There is nothing you can do to keep him from working on your behalf. He is fully committed to you. He is devoted. He is so big that he is spending every second of every minute of every hour of every day, of every week, of every month, of every year, every decade, every century, doing absolutely nothing but spending all that time thinking and arranging and developing every circumstance of your life for your good. You don't have to try to get his attention. You don't have to try to be in the right place at the right time or even believing the right thing at the right time. What he wants from you is your availability. Now again, in your spirit, he is communicating with you 100% of the time. So he already has you, who you truly are, your spirit. But he wants you whole and free and healed and experiencing and receiving the love that he's already given and the life that he's already given as a spirit to your spirit being. And he's not going to rest until that's done. It's about our cooperating with his desires. He's not going to quit. There's nothing you can do to make him quit. So it's our opportunity we're talking about. And there's some pretty tough beliefs we're going to have to give up. That it is our job to keep ourselves clean and spotless before him. Or he can't do or say or be certain things in our lives. We are so powerful. So when we've been talking about forgiving ourselves, what comes out are those areas where we are believing a lie. Now, if you've not experienced that salvation experience, in other words, if you've not recognized that without God, you are dead in your spirit, none of this is going to make sense because you don't have access to that eternal life. But once you recognize that God's purpose for you is to become a new spirit, and the only way to do that is by accepting that you once were dead, but that you will receive the freedom and the new life and the spirit that he gives you unconditionally. And just going back to that wonderful example in the Old Testament where in Moses' time, the people wandering around after they left Egypt, wandering around grumbling, God got tired of them grumbling and sent snakes into the camp. And Moses went to God, how can we stop this? You know, the people have sinned against you. They've been grumbling. How can we stop this? And God told them to make a snake, make a brazen snake, I think it was brass, and put it on a pole. And whoever looks on it will be healed from the snake bites. Okay, so think about it. There are snakes in the camp, and they're poisonous snakes, and people are getting bit and dying. Now, the only thing they have to do to get healed is look up. It was way too simple. Way too simple. And that's the same way for us. All we have to do to receive eternal life is accept it. But that's too simple. There still has to be something we have to do. And that's the lie. We have to keep ourselves in the right place. Very often it's, okay, we got here, but now we have to keep ourselves. We have to keep ourselves clean. We have to keep ourselves in the right place at the right time. We have to keep ourselves sinless. We have to apply the blood every morning or night or anywhere in between. Instead of realizing, okay, we are in the learning process and God is showing us areas where we are believing lies, not just to get rid of them, but so that we will know the truth. The truth sets us free and makes us free. So it's not just a one-time freedom where, oh, okay, I get it. But also, okay, if that's true, what other things in my life have to change? We've talked before about the example of a slave being set free. For the master, for the slave master, all the slave master has to do is find another way to get the work done. So it's an inconvenience, but it may not change their life that much. But for the slave that's been set free, their life is turned upside down. And we've been set free. We have to learn how to live as free beings. Now this, again, does make us vulnerable. Because our habit is looking to someone else to tell us what to do. And so we become vulnerable to Christian leaders and Christian ministries. So what we want to make sure we're doing is we're not just transferring mastery from sin to law. Here's what you need to do in order to be acceptable to God. I'll tell you what you need to do. I'll tell you what you need to believe. No, that's God's job. He paid for the right and responsibility to be your God. He is providing your training, your counseling, your teaching, everything you need. So when we talk about forgiving ourselves, what we're really talking about is allowing the Lord, cooperating with the Lord in as he reveals our truth about who we really are and learning to live with that. This changes our perspective about others, about ourselves, about God, and it frees us to have that relationship where we can be who God created us to be, and we can let God be who he is. And when we are talking about forgiveness, what are we really talking about? We are talking about acknowledging something that happened, that God did 2,000 years ago. And when we're talking about what he did, it's not that he did it and now we're learning to live according to something that happened 2,000 years ago. He took you back. Remember, he created time, so he's over it. And because he's over it, as a spirit being, you and I are over time. There's no way we can anticipate out using our own, what's left of our mind, to understand how he did that. We may someday, but for right now, it's just accept that he put you in Christ. You experienced that experience. You were with him and in him. And then you were raised with him and in him. So every sin you ever committed, your sin nature was changed. Every sin you committed was taken care of 2,000 years ago. Let me just ask you, of the sins you've committed, how many took place after the cross? Odds are that if you're listening to me now, all of them. So, were they forgiven 2,000 years ago or not? Does it matter whether you've done them or not? Are they forgiven? Yes, I am saying that those sins or mistakes you have not made have already been forgiven. I am saying that. Let that sink in. God's not waiting for you to go through the whole day without making a mistake. Oh, that, you know, then you're on the right track. It's like, no, you're on the right track when you're depending on him. And what does that look like? Anytime he prompts, or anytime there's a question, anytime, well, it's, we're looking for it to be a constant turning toward him. Rather than relying on our beliefs, on others, on our own resources, which is our mind, will, and our emotions, we think, okay, now what do I believe about this situation? What would Jesus do? He would go to his Father and ask. He wouldn't try to figure it out himself. He wouldn't think, now what should I do? So if we really mean, what would Jesus do? We have the answer. He would go to his Father. God, what do you want to do? Daddy, what's up here? What's going on here? And he learned by experience. This is who I am in this situation. When we talk about, you know, his life, that he went about doing, preaching and teaching and healing. He proclaimed the truth, he explained the truth, and then he exemplified the truth. And the truth was all about knowing God. Not through law, not through anything written down, but that God was alive and well and on planet Earth. And in our lives. His desire is that through becoming more and more in line with his truth, our beliefs and our soul becoming freer to join him in his truth, that's how we enter into that rest. And his desire is for you to know him. And we know that nothing will stand in the way of that. So we'll continue on with forgiving ourselves next week. Thursday we'll get back together again, 7:30, on Knowing God. Until then, have a great day, and I will see you 7:30 on Thursday. Thanks for tuning in. This has been Diane Thomas of Prepare Radio.